This podcast is brought to you by Most Valuable Podcasts, leading the league in podcasting entertainment.
Welcome in, my friends, to another episode of Behind the Pen. My name is Mike Rankin, and I will be your host for today's show. And I'm very happy about today's show because, to my surprise, Ricky Widmer's here. And I have Ricky Widmer on Behind the Pen once again. Ricky, thanks for jumping on.
Oh, no problem. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. And before we get into the plethora of topics we have going on today, I'd like to plug our Patreon page because that's important to us. And I hope you guys enjoy our content. If you like it, please go to patreon.com/mostvaluablepodcasts, right, Ricky?
Mm-hmm.
And then by making a small donation every month, you get some exclusive content from Most Valuable Podcasts.
Yeah, it's just a way for you guys to show a little bit extra support
We love the support, and, you know, if you can continue that, that's fantastic. If not, you know, our feelings won't be hurt. We still have all this stuff for you on YouTube, SoundCloud, and iTunes.
Exactly like you said. You still get everything for free from Most Valuable Podcasts, but if you want that little bit more, there's some exclusive and rewards for patrons.
Absolutely. So let's get into this, some sports talk, huh? As May is starting to flow, we're about midway through May now, and I want to get really into this baseball season because I'm starting to get into super baseball mode now that the NBA playoffs are going on, the NHL playoffs are kind of coming to the end too, the NFL drafts done, mini camps coming up, so I mean, football is a year-round thing, but you know, summer is here pretty much, and baseball is all the rage, and especially in Chicago where both teams are killing it. But before I get into a bunch of topics like the Nationals, Jake Arrieta stuff, and also some Bears, I just want to go around the league and talk about some new some headlines because I'd like to do that now to start every Behind the Pen podcast. So in the NBA, Golden State advances to the Western Conference Finals. Steph Curry puts on a show in the second half of game, 4 and 5. It was just unbelievable. He was hurt and comes in, just kills it. Portland really played well, but, you know, young team, bounced by the best team in basketball, got nothing to be ashamed of there. And also, by the way, I didn't even know Scott Skiles was still coaching, but he resigned as the Orlando Magic head coach.
Yeah, he was with the Magic.
Yeah, well, so now he's gone. Hey, and I want to bring this up to you, Ricky. What do you think? Illinois, right? University of Illinois.
I didn't know we were going to bring up
just real
Illini.
Quick. But, you know,
you wanted to make me cry today. That's what you wanted to do,
Josh Whitman,
right?
Brought in Lovie Smith, a local former Chicago Bears head coach. Right?
Love it.
And hopefully it's a revamping to their program, which needs it a lot.
Love it.
Right? So what do you think of Scott Skiles coming in to coach their basketball team? Because I know John Gross is...
Let's not get on that train yet.
I'm just saying, if you're Josh Whitman, man.
The reason why I say let's not get on that train yet is because I like John Gross, but I understand that we need to go to NCAA tournaments.
Right.
But I do like John Gross.
He's not winning
at
recruits.
Coach Gross. It's just, not just that, it's also the team is kind of, he's had some injuries to deal with too, but I like Gross, so
yeah,
I don't want
to
get
to think about, you know, maybe
in a year or two
tournament-less. The Gross thing, he's under contract, until 18-19? So,
I think so.
Yeah, Illinois is going to have to pay him off, but we'll see. You know, there's just a little food for thought.
I thought they should have brought in Shaka Smart.
Moving on to the NHL now. The Blues, the St. Louis Blues, who got bounced in the first round of the playoffs the last 3 years, were able to move on to the Western Conference Finals and defeated the Dallas Stars in 7 games, which was a fun series. Go Blues, I guess.
Fun fact about the Western Conference, just in general, the 3 years since 2010 that have not been Blackhawk Stanley Cups. I almost said World Series. I got baseball on the mind. Mm-hmm. But the 3 years that have not been Blackhawk Stanley Cups, you had the Bruins won it in, I want to say, 2011. The Vancouver Canucks went to the Cup. Who did the Canucks beat?
Blackhawks.
In a game 7 in the first round? The Blackhawks. Then you had the Kings when they won it. Who did they beat?
Western Conference Finals. Blackhawks.
The Blackhawks. The Coyotes when the Kings won it a second time. Coyotes went to the Western Conference Finals.
I
Who
see
did
what
they
you're
beat
getting
in the
at
first
here.
Round?
The Blues beat the Blackhawks. Do you think they're going to be a Stanley Cup
well,
final?
This is the thing where they have now made it to when you beat the Blackhawks in the first round, you're a lock for the Western Conference
now
Finals.
When
you beat the Blackhawks in this game, you're a lock for the Stanley Cup. So right now, the Blues are hoping to be more like the Kings than the Coyotes.
Other NHL news, I was surprised that the Capitals got bounced in the second round. I was actually...
I knew it was going to...
I know, but I was just pegging them because they're so talented. Choke. And they have the best goalie in hockey.
The funny thing is...
Ovechkin.
Did you see the CSN broadcast of their local anchor?
Continue. No.
Who he... I hope it was a joke. I only know about this because they had it on the Dan Patrick show today. I hope it was scripted, but if it wasn't, he was drinking on the air.
Oh, my.
Like, what? They did it again, and the best line from it, and I'll try to find a link and put it in the description for you guys. Mm-hmm. The best part of it was he goes, yeah, you know the thing they tell you when you're kids? Oh, follow your dream. Well, kids don't believe them. It's not true. Life is very cruel.
Oh, my.
The Caps were supposed to win it all this year, and that didn't happen, so... Don't follow your dreams, kids.
And as he's drinking on air?
Yeah.
That's hilarious. Honestly, that's why hockey is so different.
I hope it was a bit.
It might be.
It was the local...
There's some truth to it.
But it was the local DC
CSN
broadcast.
That's hilarious. I love it. So the Capitals are out and Penguins are moving on to face the Tampa Bay Lightning in the Eastern Conference. That's going to be a fun series. If Tampa Bay
could go back.
Absolutely. That might be the Stanley Cup of this season because mm-hmm. both teams are so freaking awesome, but
kind of like how Kings and Blackhawks were the Stanley
right, that,
Cup
what a
of
series
the
that
Rangers.
Was.
Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, yeah, what good for the Blues. Honestly, I think they're the most talented team left. Maybe the Penguins too. So we'll see what happens from there. It's going to be fun. Let's follow the NHL until it's over. I mean, that one dude who got famous off of, Twitter watching that game for the first time. You remember that guy?
No, I don't.
What? How have you not seen that? That one black dude who was just like, man, white people are hiding hockey from us forever.
No,
well,
I don't know what you're talking about.
You're living under a rock, Ricky. I know a lot of people.
Half the time I'm Patrick Starr. That's where I get half my income from.
Anyway, all right. So as we wrap up this little quick segment of around the sporting world news.
Around the pen instead of
around
the pen?
Oh, my. Dude, okay. All right.
I hope ESPN don't come after us because it's similar to around the
once horn. Again, Ricky, you mentioned the four-letter worldwide leader on my show. And I didn't like. I don't like it. I told you last week I didn't like it.
Well, this is more of a legal.
I don't
want
to hear it. So MLB, we talked about it last podcast. We had this whole conversation about PEDs, and we were waiting for this one dude to get popped. Mm-hmm. It was Raul Mondesi.
I was
Kansas
expecting
City Royals top prospect.
I was expecting a bigger name.
Well,
that's what I was expecting. Like my thought, and maybe it's because like if we kind of went through your fandom to my fandom. You're a baseball fanatic. I'm a guy that I like my Cubs. I'm a Cubs fanatic. About this time of the year, I start to get into baseball, and it just gets more and more and more till the end of the season, till football starts, let's be honest. Because I need something to hold my attention. But for me being that, I guess you can call me a casual fan because I'm
That's
only
fine.
Hardcore for my Cubs. I looked at it and went, man, I wanted a bigger name.
Yeah, I understand that feeling. And what
like
happened,
a kind
really?
Of name like a Jose Bautista.
Yeah, right. Well, that would just shake
not
up the whole freaking baseball
Batts
world.
Not Joey Bats in particular. I don't want Toronto fans coming after me. But that's the kind of level name
right.
I wanted.
Well, still, a top number one prospect in a professional MLB system is a big news, especially in PDs. But what he took was this pain or this cold medicine. And apparently there was some banned substance in there and he got tested positive for it. And, people... play the card where, oh, I didn't know what I was taking. Well, in this case, I kind of believe him. So
because it was cold medicine?
It's unfortunate. And whether he knew it or not, that it's just too bad. He suspended 50 games. He dropped it from 80 to 50 because of that. But, yeah, that's too bad. But in other news, Bartolo Colon hit a home run, his first home run ever.
The Thunder
That was so majestic. I loved it. It was great. And they did this whole thing with that one.
Thought he was going to get busted for
famous
PEDs.
Movie. I did. Well, I mean, he was, you think about it. I mean, he's 41, he's still killing it, 43.
Who had the better crack coming off the bat, though? Javi Baez or Bartolo Colon?
Definitely Colon. Absolutely. Oh. All right, so that was a little fun. I'm going to do that in every podcast from now on because I want you guys to stay up to date.
It's a nice little thing.
Yeah, and I mean, you kind of, you just need it. You
it's
need
a nice
it.
Little weekly update.
Yeah,
for
how about
Mike
it?
Rankin.
How about it? So you guys want it? I'll bring it to you. You guys just got to keep listening. Anyway, we have, like I said, we're going to talk a lot of baseball today, and let's focus really on the Washington Nationals because they've been in the news for the better part of a week and a half now, and it really started with. The Cubs.
Getting swept by the Cubs.
And that was great, in my opinion, because go Cubs, go. You know what I mean? But what happened, a major storyline in that series was they didn't pitch to Harper at all. I think he swung the bat once and he struck out.
Yeah.
And that was when he was chasing pitches. So the Cubs walked him in six plate appearances in the final game of this series. And you know what? They got called out for being afraid of Bryce Harper.
But I see no problem in it.
That's not baseball.
No problem.
But let me tell you something. It's called strategy, one. And two, they won every single game in that series, and it proved to be effective because Dusty Baker didn't adjust. He had Ryan Zimmerman batting behind Bryce Harper, and if you want, you know this is happening. You see it. It's happened throughout the series. They're not going to attack Bryce Harper. But Dusty Baker didn't do is maybe, bat Daniel Murphy, a guy who's killed the
An
Cubs.
RBI guy behind him so that he can bat him, at least bat Harper over.
You just have a guy who can do more than Ryan Zimmerman, and Ryan Zimmerman failed mightily in every single chance he had with men in scoring position. So people are complaining about the Cubs not attacking Bryce Harper. It's like, well, look at your manager and make an adjustment.
See, but
I'm
not surprised because, I mean, you mentioned Dusty Baker and what he didn't do, but look at the manager for the Cubs. Look at Joe Maddon.
Doing his homework.
Joe Maddon's this guy who, no matter when he's the Rays, when he's with the Cubs, he's kind of like the Mad Hatter in the dugout. He's doing things unconventionally. The Tony La Russa batting the pitcher in the eighth spot, or coming out and pulling a reliever here, and doing these certain things that you wouldn't even think about. I want to say it was Maddon. I think it was Maddon that late in the season he did this thing where the pitcher on the mound was a righty. And there was one batter coming up that was like, oh, he sucks against lefties. But then the next three were righties. He came in, said, go out to left field. Pulled the left fielder, put the pitcher in left. The lefty came in, the strikeout, and then the righty went right back to the mound.
That was Clayton. Wait, I forget. But no, I definitely remember that. That was
That's
something unique.
But that's what Joe Maddon does. He thinks outside of the box, and he's going to find a way to say, okay, your move, Dusty. What are you going to do? Mm-hmm. And if you don't make a move against Joe, Joe's going to beat you.
Yeah, we talked about this before in the a few other podcasts, I believe. But you think of the value in a manager and how many wins he brings to a club. Mm-hmm. And I got to tell you, not many. I would say like two-thirds of all the managers in baseball really don't influence, because all they're paid to do is put on a lineup card. You know, especially in the AL, it's easier for them to maneuver around their lineup. But when you look at Joe Maddon,
you got to think about that pitcher spot. What are you going to do
in the National League? It's even more challenging. You have double switch situations. I mean, you see Joe Maddon save some of his bench bats by batting relievers, and you have Jason Hamill coming in to pinch hit in spots where guys are in scoring position.
Well,
yeah, they're winning. But
it also helps when your team is scoring enough runs to where you don't have to
you
think
have
about
luxury.
Pulling
that. Yeah.
You know what I found out, though, about the Cubs? That I guess David Ross brought a game to them last year, and it's called Fuck the Closer. And basically the point of the game is when they get to the eighth or ninth inning, and let's say they're up like 4-1, okay, time to play fuck the closer. Let's add some more runs to where Rodon can't get a save situation.
Rodon, you see that happening this season a lot. But yeah, I didn't really want to talk about the Cubs.
Yeah, I said Rodon.
No, Southside? That's okay. Well, we had some Cubs conversation in there, but let's shift it back to the Nationals because that's really what the news is about.
Well, Bryce Harper saying fuck you to the ump.
That's another thing. Bryce Harper, one, he's trying to be, right? He has this persona about him, and people are saying, well, you know, is he going to be the face of the MLB? Because, by God, he's talented enough to do that. And honestly, he's in the same company.
Technically Mike, I would see Trout as more of the face than
It's Mike Trout
Bryce.
Because he's the most complete. And how many All-Star Game MVPs has he won already? And he's just absolutely killing it in all facets. But this season, he's kind of, I don't know, he's taking a backseat to Bryce Harper because the last two or three seasons, Bryce Harper has been on another planet. One, he's able to hit for power. He's got speed. The only flaw in his game really is him in right field as a fielder. But other than that, Bryce Harper is one of the most complete hitters of all time because, one, the thing that hurt him in the past was his plate discipline. And you look, he's hitting his hard contact rate is going way up. His ability to get on base is going way up. He's not striking out as much. He's walking more, and that's scary. That is really scary because if you're seeing Bryce Harper lay off that pitch, that pitcher's pitch more often than that, that means he's hitting his pitch. And it's like, oh, no, Like, and that's one of the reasons why the Cubs opted to stay away from him. But yeah, so what happened with this whole umpire situation, right? There was a call that went against the Nationals. Guy struck out in a high pitch, whatever. And it was kind of odd to me because everybody from the Nationals dugout was kind of giving the ump some lip. Mm-hmm. And the umpire pointed directly at Bryce Harper, and he was just like, "You're gone. Like, see you later."
Yeah.
And Bryce Harper got pissed, right? And then they ended up winning in walk-off fashion, a walk-off homer. And Bryce Harper rushed the field, which he shouldn't have. If you're thrown out of the game, you can't do that.
Before we get to Bryce, I just want to throw in a little fun fact. I can't remember the guy's name for the Nationals that hit that home run, okay. But he thought it was the eighth. He didn't even know it was the ninth.
Oh, that's funny.
He thought it was the eighth.
That's funny. But yeah, once you're thrown out of the game, you can't rush the field. You're done.
Is that a thing? Because
yeah, it is. No,
on
yeah.
sports radio, they were debating that this week.
No, it is. And that's the reason why he got suspended. He got a one-game suspension, and it wasn't really because he said F you to the umpire, clear as day, right into the camera. It was because he was thrown out of the game, and then he rushed the field once again. I would have fined him absolutely for the, you know, the inappropriate comment. But that I wasn't sure if MLB was going to go that route and saying, "Oh, he attacked the umpire that way and he got suspended because of that."
I wouldn't have fined him because he said a curse word. I would have fined him because either A, like you said, he came onto the field after he wasn't supposed to, and two, if you didn't want to go that route, you could say, "Well, don't say that to an umpire and respect your officials."
I mean, you see that.
I know they make bad calls, but you got to kind of respect and honor your official in that way.
Well, yeah, but you see head coaches, when they get thrown out of the game, you see them MFing them all the time in their face, and they're not getting fined or suspended for it.
And this goes into a different discussion of, I was listening to, and I know you hate when I bring them up, but I'm going to bring them up. I listened to Waddle and Sylvie this afternoon, and they had a caller call in that was kind of bashing the swearing, and that, oh, you're always seeing like the pixelated mouth and this and that. And I totally agree with Silverman. When you go to a baseball game, when you go to a basketball game, it's like going to a rated R movie.
Sure.
You're not in control of what's going to happen.
These are grown men on the field. They get heated.
They're grown men. They can talk however they want.
Oh, they have different vernaculars, absolutely, in the sports.
They probably swear all the time.
Oh, yeah. You look at hockey players. They're MFing each other on the ice every day.
It goes back to, like I just said, the game that I called it, Fuck the Closer.
Yeah.
It was, they were talking to Ross. Ross is like, it's called Screw the Closer. And he goes, "Well, we use a different word for it."
Well, yeah.
That's what they do in the
clubhouse. That's the nature of the game. That's how they talk. That's how it is on the field. So,
As you get younger, look at young kids. Look at kids our age. How are they talking, Mike?
Sure.
We're using curse words all the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, we're progressing in society. We're kind of eliminating certain terms, which is a good thing, especially like the vulgar ones.
Ones that are becoming casual.
Sure. Absolutely.
I'm not talking in like a job situation or anything, but they're becoming casual. Here's the problem I have with the Bryce Harper thing. Your team wins a game in walk-off fashion, and your first reaction isn't to celebrate with your team. It's to go after an ump that the call happened innings ago.
You know why he did it.
I know why he did it.
It's because he's like, "Suck it.
Yeah,
we just won in a walk-off fashion spite of your bitch-ass call."
But the thing I see is that, to me, rubs me the wrong way. Be the bigger man. Go celebrate with your team. You just won.
Yeah,
you're not even celebrating with your team. You're more focused on getting back at an ump that threw you out innings ago.
And I can continue on with this conversation of the perception of Bryce Harper. Now, what kind of person do you want him to be?
I
want to
get into that, because the thing I was going to bring up is I have a friend of mine who, when I worked for my college's radio station when I was in my undergrad, he posted on Monday. He linked an article, a sports mockery article.
Ugh, they're the worst.
I know. I can't stand it there. But the headline was just like, "Bryce Harper's amazing act of kindness in Chicago almost went unnoticed." And with it, he said, and I quote, all right, you win this time, Harper. I will look at you a little differently now. Keep playing the game hard. Hashtag good man. Hashtag make baseball fun again." Here's the thing. Then on Tuesday, this happens, and he posts the video and goes, and just like that, you're knocked back down a peg. prove me wrong for once.
Well,
jeez.
See, now that's kind of the perception, the overwhelming majority's perception of Bryce Harper, because one, he comes off as a douchebag.
Oh, he is a douchebag.
But
he doesn't come off as one.
He's a great douchebag, in my opinion. I love Bryce Harper, and honestly,
you can't bullshit a bullshitter.
He's the man, Ricky. Bryce Harper is the man, and honestly, he's slowly becoming my favorite player in baseball. And the way he acts,
I don't think anybody can beat Anthony Rizzo in my mind.
Well, that's fine. No, absolutely.
Anthony Rizzo, that's an example of a good guy.
He's like the perfect human.
He is like and you look at him and you go, like, if you're a girl, you're thinking, that is like the Italian.
You can date my daughter.
Wait. I'm going to try to go full Chicago here. That's the Italian stallion I want coming home and taking my daughter out for a nice dinner. Bowl of sausage style.
Bowl of sausage.
Or Italian sausage style, because we got to keep the Italian going here.
Oh, I love it. I love it. Yeah, no. I'm with you, though. People have this perception of Bryce Harper, and it's kind of a negative type thing just because of his accent.
He plays the part well. He's a dick.
Yeah, but
he's
still.
He's a doucher.
He's the man. And I think slowly, he's one of the major influences of the younger generation of MLB coming together and changing the style of the game. Mm-hmm. Now you see guys doing stuff at second base. We've said this before. You know,
did you see Lackey last night?
Oh, well, see, now that's another conversation that I'm going to hold off.
Okay.
Because
are we getting to that later?
We will.
Did I jump the gun?
We could talk about that later when we bring up Arrieta.
I don't want to jump the gun now.
He's also just a hothead and kind of an idiot. But, you know, we'll speak about that. But, yeah, let's continue on to this Nationals conversation. I love Bryce Harper. We'll end it at that. But what happened over the last week was that the Washington Nationals signed a certain pitcher of Steven Strasburg to a 7-year, $175 million contract. Now, let me talk about this a little bit.
So I guess not pitching in a playoff race and your team losing in that playoff race and then not winning the World Series and then not going back since, that gets you this kind of money.
Okay,
What?
You let Ryan Zimmerman walk, and I know, well, Zimmerman is obviously the better pitcher.
I don't know how bad DC would have rioted if they let Strasburg walk.
Yeah, and that's the thing, too. He was a homegrown prospect. One, they babied him in the most vague of terms.
They didn't even make the playoffs, did they? Did they make the playoffs and then
they probably
get bounced?
Got bounced. Yeah, I mean,
because I remember that season, all the media was going, you pitch Strasburg.
It's the same thing Matt Harvey went through last year.
Here was the thing. You pitch him because you don't know if you'll ever be back in this situation again.
Yeah, exactly.
They've never been there again.
That's the thing. Exactly. Exactly. But on this whole topic, would you invest in this kid coming off multiple injuries? Hasn't been very consistent in the slightest, and you're investing all of this money to a guy who's unproven?
They were in between a rock and a hard place. And the reason being
$175 million, Ricky. That's the pitching market today.
Highway robbery by Steven Strasburg. He got a fucking deal, man. Yeah, steal of a century. Yeah. And, like, the only thing I sit back and think is, oh, fuck, we got to pay Arrieta now. Mm. Like, that's, like, how, this is kind of like the quarterback thing in the NFL. Joe Flacco gets a deal.
Well,
that just means Andrew Luck's going to get a bigger deal.
It just shapes the entire
market.
Tom
Brady got a deal. Oh, Joe Flacco got something bigger. Cam Newton gets something bigger. Prices are going to keep going up for that star pitcher. And the way I kind of find it funny, you give Strasburg this much money, but the guy who's really your ace just struck out 20.
Right. Oh, yeah. And let's
the
talk
guy
about
who's
that
really
for a
your ace who struck out 20 right. batters in a game.
Before we get into that conversation, which is a good one, I just want to bring up the fact that this signing, because Steven Strasburg was slated to be a free agent this offseason, and he would have been the prized free agent because among the crop, there is none. It's among of like crap. It's just just bad. I'm going to list some names, Ricky.
I'm trying to think of my MLB The Show free
agency
year.
I'm
going to
list some freaking names in the 2017 free agent pitching market, and these are the most notable.
You got me covered. Cool.
Brett Anderson, bad. Andrew Cashner, bad. Jorge De La Rosa, bad. Jeremy Hellickson, awful. Bartolo Colon, let's get it. R.A. Dickey, awful. Rich Hill, let's get it. C.J. Wilson, that's it. That's the crop of free agent pitchers going into next season.
I had Hellickson on my Marlins franchise.
No, I don't want to hear it. Jeremy Hellickson's bad.
He was an all-right fourth starter.
He's bad. Honestly, among the names, Andrew Cashner, maybe. Maybe.
You just like him because he used to play for the Cubs, same with Rich Hill.
But he's been not very good. And Rich Hill, of course. You got to love Rich Hill.
Rich Hill's comeback story. Old. He's kind of old.
Oh, yeah, he's bad. But, well, don't want to say bad because he's not doing too terrible with
age,
the A's. But,
it's
his age. I commend Rich Hill for his comeback attempt.
3 or 4 years ago, I would have said, yeah, let's nab up Rich Hill
instead. I'm saying is that free agent market opens up the opportunity now.
And you got to pay Bryce coming up. You're going to have to pay him.
Oh, yeah. He's going to make $500 million. Mm-hmm. So
he may even make $1 billion by that time.
No. But, I mean, if $1 billion athlete comes out of sports, it would be in baseball because there's no freaking cap. And it's, mm-hmm. it's ridiculous. But anyway, what the Steven Strasburg signing does is it shapes up the free agent market. Obviously, we just listed some names, which are terrible. But the thing is, it also creates a unique situation around the league in the trade market. Because that opens up the possibility of guys like a Matt Harvey to be dealt, right? So expect more teams trading position players, which is a traditionally what happens when they try and trade for pitchers.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to see a lot of moves. I mean, the White Sox just made one today for a young starting pitcher. So expect more of
that
coming
to,
this year.
Was
no,
that more
it,
to fit their five
Yeah, no, it does. I'm just
hole.
Using that as an example. And he kind of is bad, but... You know, Sox had to do what they had to do.
But as a fifth starter?
I'd rather have Miguel Gonzalez, honestly.
Okay.
Yeah, but we don't have to talk about that. So it's just really interesting, really some fun stuff going on around the Nationals, specifically within the Nationals, because they were among the many headlines. And yeah, you brought up Max Scherzer. 116 pitches, mm-hmm. 20 strikeouts, 96 strikes thrown. That is unbelievable. The consistency. That was just one of the most phenomenal performances baseball has ever seen. And he joins the club of Roger Clemens and Kerry Wood as 20 strikeouts in a game.
Well, I find it funny because I sent out a Snapchat yesterday on my story that on my desk at work, I finally brought into work my little
gnome
Kerry Wood. And it's funny that the day I finally put him on my desk, someone ties Kerry Wood and Roger Clemens' 20 strikeout record. That's the first thing I thought about. And then we heard from Sean of Most Valuable
Brad
Podcast.
Brad Ausmus being a part of every single team that got 20 strikeouts or whatever.
I guess he was, on the team for the Yankees when Clemens did it? He was on the Astros mm-hmm. when
Wood did it.
Wood
and
did
then
it,
he was managing
the
Tigers. Yeah, that's crazy. You think mm-hmm. about it, like the rarity and just the odd coincidence. But yeah, man, Max Scherzer. Whew.
Guy can't buy a break in Brad Ausmus.
Yeah, poor
just can't buy a break.
Poor dude. Poor Tigers, honestly. But yeah, the Nationals, 21-13 right now, battling out with the Mets. And they're going to be battling with the Mets all season because right now it looks like that's going to be a two-team race.
Oh, you're telling
race.
Me the Braves aren't going to be in
yeah,
it?
Yeah, good one. 8-24 Braves, bad. They got some issues down there. I mean, they're still in a rebuild. You know, but
hey, the Padres are now 2.5 out in last place of their division.
Yeah, the NLS is kind of ugly.
After what, doubleheader sweeping us?
Which sucked, by the way. The Cubs go
I
on.
I knew
and...
we were going to lose a series eventually, but it
well,
sucks.
Well, yeah, I know.
It hurts so
I know,
bad.
But everybody needs to just calm down here. They're freaking 25-8. They'll be all right.
Still fucking amazing.
Yeah. They're still on pace for 100 wins, so, mm-hmm. I mean.
Over, like 120.
Well, it was at 124 before the two losses, which is, I think, would that be a major league record? I think it would be, 120.
Major league record is 116 set by the Yankees.
Okay.
The 90 Yankees.
Okay, well, I'll take your word for it. But, yeah, as we bring up the Cubs now. And
before we get into the Cubs, I want to just bring up,
market,
one,
yep.
I wanna bring up one thing, because you mentioned pitchers that could be on the market.
Mm-hmm.
Jose Fernandez.
Yeah, the trade market?
Yeah, because
yeah, no,
he's
yeah,
a guy
sure.
where right now he's, like, deadline, I could see him as a talked-about name because he's going to want big money. And
can the Marlins dish
the
it
Marlins
out?
The
no.
Marlins aren't going to want to, and it's either he's going to get traded the deadline or they're going to go to arbitration in the offseason.
Yeah, they're investing money in Yelich. They signed Giancarlo Stanton to a $300 million deal.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a name absolutely that I could see on the market, and boy, is he an impact player. Another name that I'd like to throw out is Sonny Gray,
yep.
The Oakland A's. White Sox will be in on him. Cubs will be in on him.
So I heard the White Sox are one of also three teams in the finalists. It's them, the Giants, and the Angels are the finalists for
Lincecum.
Big time, Timmy Jim.
Interesting. I mean, he's still kind of bad.
You know. Kind of, but it's a fifth starter for the White Sox.
What I would see them doing with Lincecum now, just real quick.
Long reliever. Gotcha.
Maybe a long reliever, but as a guy who could fill in maybe as like a sixth starter, right?
Every once in a while. So he catches a start when you need to like...
Because you're not going to stretch him to be an everyday consistent fifth starter because you'll just tear him apart. But if they do this thing where they... Because you want to make an effort to... minimize Chris Sale's innings.
And especially if Rodon keeps throwing like, Rodon, what, 100 pitches a game.
Not, his last few starts, last four or five starts have been a struggle. So you just give some guys an extra rest and you throw Lincecum in. Now I'm saying like every sixth day, maybe like a 10th or 12th day, you throw him in there.
Yeah.
You know, just as a spot starter. So, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if the White Sox went after him. I saw he was throwing 90-91 in the showcase, so maybe he's... Maybe he's still got some value, but anyway, let's move on to this Jake Arrieta stuff, huh? Because
I can't wait.
Why? Why can't you wait?
Because maybe it's because I'm from Chicago. Maybe it's because I thought Jake Arrieta was cool. But when I saw the ESPN,
he
kind
flat
of
out
thing,
said to the question, "Would you take a hometown discount?" He flat out, straight up said, "Nope, absolutely not."
And okay, part of me gets it. Part of me is like, okay.
No, I get 100%.
You want the money that's going to be best for you. But then there's a part of me that says, don't you want to win? Is winning more important than you? Like, I immediately think of Tom Brady in the NFL where, okay, I'm going to take this money, restructure my contract differently so we'll have more cap room to spend on different guys to get me weapons.
You got
to
understand, Tom Brady's made it. You know, he's won, and he's made a lot of money. And he's almost 40, if he's not 40 already. With Jake Arrieta...
Plus, there's a salary cap, so there's a cap on how high that contract can go.
And that's another thing.
Go.
There's no salary cap, so Arrieta could command as much money as the market dictates, which is going to be a lot, which is around $200 million, right? And, he's straight out said he's looking for $200 million. And another thing, too, is, well, all right, let's get into this Jake Arrieta stuff.
Beard's got to his head, man.
He's overflowing with confidence, and rightfully so. He's killing it. But with Jake Arrieta... Cubs have him under control for one more year, and that's going to be an arbitration year, and he's probably going to make more. He won last year. He set the record for the most money won in arbitration. And then going into next year, I'm sure he's going to command more money because he's killing it again this year. So he's going to be 32 years old once he hits free agency after next season. So the Cubs, what I would like to see is say the Cubs go, hey, Jake, do us a favor and win a World Series for us. And then see you later. Because I'm not giving a 32-year-old with... Now, he doesn't have a ton of mileage, right? But at the same time, he's going to command 6 years, because I don't think they'll go seven for a 32-year-old starter. 6 years, hovering around $200 million. What is that, like $28 million a year? That's kind of a lot. So I'm a little reluctant. I mean, I know people around baseball... And Cubs fans would love to see Arrieta stay, but if I was running the Cubs, that's a lot of money, especially when you're investing a lot of money into John Lester. And
I was just going to bring him up. You know? The reason why I was going to bring him up is how long do we really think John Lester is going to pitch his entire contract?
Yes, but I think in the final 2 years, the value will be so diminished. You know, like I think what the Cubs did was signed him to that 6-year deal, but hope that they can
Arrieta
get...
Because Arrieta was nowhere near what he was now when we signed Lester.
I think they can hope to get at least value from Lester, like really good value numbers he's been putting up his entire career for the first four.
Here's another thing.
And then
that,
they'll take what they can get in the final two.
Here's the thing, and I'm bringing this point up. They talked about it on Waddle and Sylvie yesterday. And when they were talking about the Cubs, talking about Jake Arrieta, they mentioned Chris Bryant. Now, Chris Bryant's a guy where... I want to say it's, what, 4 or 5 years? In 4 or 5 years?
2020?
Yeah. In 4 years, that's when his contract comes up. And the longer you wait, the more that price is going to cost. Do they try to work a deal out with Bryant sooner just because it would be less money, but you don't get to keep him as long if you wait till 2020?
Yeah, no, that's a conversation that we have to hold off on, especially because of the amount of variables that go on within a major league organization. And throughout, you're talking like 4 years from now, I have no idea what the Cubs are going to look like in 4 years. So we'll just hold off on that. But with Jake Arrieta.
No, I'm saying like.
Well, no. Yeah, I'm lock him up now so I'm you don't have to worry
like
about
right
it later.
Now, like, you lock him up at a lower price now so that you can have the wiggle room
to
give
Arrieta
the type of contract.
You
got to
remember, Scott Boras is his client, is his agent, and he's not going to go for any of that.
Yeah.
He's going to command the most money for Brian. Brian might even test free agency. He might walk away from Chicago, which might be scary. But at the same time,
you know
too,
what? If we had won World Series by 2020, I wouldn't give a shit.
If they lost Brian?
No, because we'd have won World. If we had won World Series, I'd be like, fuck it, whatever. So, because I'd be so happy that we finally got one.
Well, I still want the Cubs to be competitive, and Chris Bryant's a major reason why they're good. And I wouldn't want to see a homegrown prospect with the talent who could be the face of the Major League Baseball along the lines of like a Mike Trout and Bryce Harper, mm-hmm. as we mentioned, walk away from my team. That would kind of be like, damn it. You know, but I see what you're saying.
I'm going to say
the whole goal is to get a World Series.
I'm going
to
say one thing, though. In Theo, I trust.
Whatever, absolutely.
Like, Theo's made...
Best executive in history of sports.
Theo's made the best moves. Right now, he's in position not just to have ended one curse, but to end two curses. And you know what? This is above... I know we're talking about it to spark the conversation, and people love us talking about it, but... It's above my pay grade. I'm just going to let Theo handle it because that's what we pay him to do.
Yeah.
I don't, but the Cubs pay him to do.
No, I absolutely 100%
agree with you.
It's
what the Ricketts pay him to do.
So go Cubs, go. You know, still
in
first place.
Do you really think Arrieta's going to walk, though?
Yes. I don't think the Cubs are going to sign him. That's just my opinion. 32.
Do we trade Lester to keep Arrieta?
No. Well... I
thought
don't
about
know
it.
About
the
that because
in my
well,
mind.
It's going to be very hard to trade that contract. And I know
more valuable.
Value, but
who's more valuable?
Well, yeah, I know, but yeah, that's interesting.
Or
I don't know. It depends
on
the market.
Here's what you do, and this is all dependent on Cubs winning the World Series this year. If the Cubs win the World Series this year, you win arbitration or you lose arbitration. You get them in arbitration for next year. You already have your World Series. Trade him.
Trade Arrieta?
Trade him before the deadline.
Oh, it could happen.
Just trade him.
It could, but...
Because you'd get a higher price for Arrieta.
That would be something very interesting, especially if they're not willing to give him that money. So we'll see how it plays out, man. But right now, if everything goes without any curveballs here, and Arrieta is still on the Cubs after 2017, and they're looking to deal him...
I hope, because the one thing I will say is
I'd let him walk.
I hate buying Cubs shirts.
Like
and
Scherzies?
Scherzies. And in 3 or 4 years, my dad always gives me shit about it because, like, I wore my Castro one like crazy, and he's like, he ain't going to be on the team.
Mm-hmm.
Like, my dad has this Cubs jersey, white, with the Cubs logo, no name on the back. And he's the kind of guy, I never get one with jerseys or with names on the back because – they're not going to be on the team in 5 years.
Well, that's a risk you take when you because I bought a Ryan Terrio jersey or a jersey. And
do you
want to
know all the jerseys I have?
No, I don't.
Castro not on the team. Fukudome not on the team. Zambrano not on the team.
Psycho.
Samaje not on the team.
Idiot.
Who else do I got? I didn't have a Derek Lee.
I've got Andre Dawson.
I've got a Rizzo and a Bryant. And
there you
I
go.
Bought those at the last Cub game I went to last year because I needed somebody that was on the team.
Yeah, Rizzo will be here for a while. Yeah, we don't know about Brian.
I love Rizzo.
But all right.
I need to get a Schwar Daddy one.
That'll wrap up our MLB conversation. We talked a little Cubs, as always, because we have to. Jake Arrieta stuff. Washington Nationals stuff. So I hope you Washington fans enjoyed that because, they're pretty good. And I pegged them to win the East, and they probably will. And they might even take on the Cubs in the playoffs. We shall see. But
that's my NLCS, baby.
We shall see, huh? Let's move on, though, because every single Behind the Pet podcast has to touch on some Bears talk.
Da Bears.
Absolutely. And
even though I'm a Skull Vikings guy.
They didn't draft a tight end, but they signed some undrafted free agents. Now, there's a couple that I want to point out, okay? There's Harvard tight end Ben Broniker, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he was projected to go in the fifth or sixth round as a tight end. He has some size. He was like, obviously, too good to be in the Ivy League. He was overpowering blockers there. And that's somebody who will compete for a depth spot. And, you know, usually undrafted free agents don't make the team. But two of the 10 names, Broniker is one of them. Kevin Peterson, a cornerback, is another. Cornerback, not quarterback. Cornerback. But I really like the Broniker signing. especially since they had a lot of high grades on him. And I'm sure he'll be able to add to the depth of the tight end position because what do they have? Zach Miller. Oh, boy.
Is this going to be a position, though, that the Bears look for, like, kind of makeshift it this year and then get your answer next year?
Well, I think they like Zach Miller a lot. And I think the fact that Cutler and Miller have this connection, because you saw it last year that they felt comfortable with each other. So that's a valuable weapon. The thing is, he's got to stay healthy.
I want to throw something out there for you. And this is because I'm.
And no shit, he's got to stay healthy. But I'm just saying.
It's one, I'm the college guy. And two, I'm currently finishing my way too early mock draft for 2017. And
you didn't see me roll my eyes, but
I did not have this, but Todd McShay did. What do you think of the possibility, whether it's in the first, whether it's in the second, because anything can happen between now and next year's draft, if the Bears went out and got next offseason O.J. Howard, tight end from Alabama?
That would be fantastic.
Like, to me, as I look at the Bears, the way I see it, just makeshift it this year.
That would be sick.
They're going to find something that works, and then O.J. Howard. Like, next year could be the year that the Bears draft offense in the first round again.
Sure.
And it could be a tight end. Yeah. Could be an O.J. Howard. Because right now, he's the top tight end prospect going into this upcoming season.
No, that's a name that we should keep an eye on, too. And another conversation that I don't really want to get into is if they're bad, do they draft a quarterback? Now, I know there are three quarterbacks that are projected to be top first round picks.
It's funny that you say that because on the one segment of the Onside Kick,
which
that
you should
came
listen
out earlier
to
today, we asked we were talking about Adrian Peterson, his comments about will the Vikings win Super Bowl Lee or Super Bowl 51?
Lee.
And we had one commenter, I can't remember his name off the top of my head, but you know who I'm talking about. He said that he saw that he thinks the Vikings will get a wild card spot, and then either the Giants or the Cowboys, whoever doesn't win the division out of those two.
I
threw it out there. I'm like, what about the Bears? Because I'm in firm believance, and that, yes, that is a word, believance, that the Vikings and the Bears are going to be your fifth and your sixth this year. I think we have three teams from the North, the Great White North, getting into the playoffs in the NFC. And his response was great because it all came back to Jay Cutler and Jay getting injured and Brian Hoyer not being the guy to man the ship. So you know my thoughts, Mike, and we're on opposite sides of the table. Thank God I'm not a Bears fan because I wouldn't be able to deal with it. But I think sooner rather than later, you got to sit down and say, Jay's not the answer.
I'm going to do a show coming up. Well, by the way, I'm going to be gone. I'll be in Florida, so I'm going to be missing a week, just to let you guys know. But
going to have someone fill in for you like they do on the mothership?
I don't think so, because Behind the Pen's mine, and I don't want anybody taking it, especially you. You've been on it a few times. I don't like it.
You wouldn't want me to take it for a week?
No, hell no. But with this Jay Cutler nonsense, like I said, I'm going to do a show soon talking about why Jay Cutler is the best Bears quarterback and why people who don't like Jay Cutler
inform me
are stupid.
I apologize.
I hope I didn't. I hope I didn't insult anyone,
because we know you're really the stupid one for believing.
You know what, dude?
Trust me, I'm a Cub fan. I know blind hope.
Okay, the main narrative that goes around Cutler is he's not a leader. He gets hurt a lot. He makes stupid decisions. Okay.
Okay. That they're all viable. All viable reasons.
The leadership one is just plain ignorance. Because what do you know?
You play quarterback.
It's ignorance.
You know what?
That's the sport you play.
You play quarterback.
No.
The quarterback's
Ricky,
the leader.
I'm not getting to this damn discussion.
Look at Tom Brady and Peyton Manning.
Look.
Leaders. Greatest quarterbacks of all time.
I'm going to touch on this in another show.
Look
you
at
guys
the great
better stay
teams.
Tuned because
look
I have so
fuck,
much to say about
look
this.
Look at the fucking Panthers.
But, okay, now what do you expect a leader to be? Do you have this absolute picture of what a leader should be? Jay Cutler's a leader in his own set. He does his own things. You saw it this offseason. He organized a private top skilled players, organization, whatever, to work on... to work out together. That's an example of a leadership quality.
Did Mark Sanchez.
So? He's a leader too.
Yeah, where's Mark Sanchez right now?
But he's also
fumbling all over the field.
He's also bad.
Yeah, that's the point I'm making.
Jay Cutler's not bad, though. Jay Cutler's good.
Debatable.
He's top 12 quarterback in the league.
Debatable.
Debatable.
Debatable whether he's good or not.
How? How? I just don't understand how people with this mindset who say Jay Cutler's not good. Because he is good. And you're ignorant if you say that he's not. Yes?
Inform me.
I will, once I do, like a 40-minute long show of how great Jay Cutler is. But I'm just saying, as a Bears follower for as long as I can remember being alive, which is 20-something years, I'm telling you, this is the Bears' best quarterback that they've ever had. He has the skill set to take this team to the Super Bowl and win
better
one.
Better than Jim McMahon?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Jim McMahon, that's another conversation. But I'm just saying, Jay Cutler, yes, he is better than Jim McMahon.
You're not telling me he's better than Sexy Rexy.
Yes, by far. Rex Grossman shouldn't even be in this conversation or in this show. But I'm just saying.
Here's the thing with the Bears. And I know this got on a different topic than you were looking to go on.
Yeah, you know what? You do that to me sometimes.
It's good. This is a good conversation. I feel, and this is me coming as a non-Bears fan on the outside looking in, the Bears are never going to win a Super Bowl with Jay Cutler.
Yes,
because
they are.
Looking at your points, I will give you this. The leadership argument, tomato, tomato, apples to oranges, you know what? Fine. Like, some people see leadership qualities in different people. To me,
it's a false narrative. That's all it is.
I'm the guy who I like my quarterback to just show me a little bit, like on the field.
All right. Well,
that you give
are you
a
in
shit.
The locker room?
Wait.
I'm going to ask you. Are you in the locker room? Do you know what Jay Cutler does? Do you know
I'm
how
giving
he...
you that point, Mike.
I'm just saying, to everybody else who thinks Cutler's not a leader or a quitter because he's not a quitter.
I'm taking that point and I'm putting it over to the side. The other two that you said, the first one, he keeps getting injured. How can you help your team win if you're not on the field?
Yeah, but also how are you able to control the fact that you get hurt and the fact that you have one of the worst offensive lines throughout your entire career?
Just shitty luck.
Okay, so how are you saying that he's a bad quarterback because of that? You can't.
Because he's not on the field. It's his body. That's his genetics saying, hey, you know what?
So Tony Romo sucks because he's hurt every year.
I don't think Romo's that great of a quarterback. But when he's on the field, when Jay Cutler has shown flashes, I just think in the long run of things, he's not the guy to win a Super Bowl for Chicago. And they're going to have to look for the answer.
Ugh, Ricky, we could do another 50 minutes of this show.
We're not. But I'm just saying, bottom line, I do not think Jay Cutler is the man to eventually win a Super Bowl for Chicago.
How many times has Jay Cutler brought this team back in the fourth quarter and won games solely on last possessions?
How many rings?
Offensive possessions. Okay, so you're going to bring up the fact that quarterback of the Chicago Bears hasn't won a ring.
Well, that's my...
Ben Roethlisberger win a ring every single year? Why doesn't Eli Manning win a ring even every single year? I know he has two. Why isn't Tony Romo win a ring? Why isn't Matt Ryan win a ring? Is it all on the quarterback to win a Super Bowl? It's okay, now, real quick, let's look at how the Bears were constructed during Cutler's tenure since 2009. One, how many offensive coordinators? This is their sixth. Mike Martz, Ron Turner, Mike Tice, who had a third-grade playbook. Terrible. Offensive weapons. Their main threat for a long time was Earl Bennett, right? They had Roy Williams at one point to throw to. Johnny Knox before he got bent in half. Greg Olsen. And then they had a safety cushion in Matt Forte. And that was it. Everybody else was makeshift. They weren't running their routes because they're idiots. They brought in Brandon Marshall. He was solid. But now let me talk about this for a second. You had a Lovie Smith philosophy with this 4-3 Tampa 2 style defense with an aging group.
Got you to a Super Bowl.
Right, but as they progressed, that was in 2006, 2007. Now you're in 2009, 2000. Now I'm going to admit, yeah, Cutler had a bad year in 2009. 2010, they went to the NFC Championship game with an aging defense. Now, in 2011, before he broke his thumb, they were 7-3. He was having one of the greatest seasons of his career, and that defense was still decent enough to get them to a Super Bowl. But then after that fell off, you saw other teams' quarterbacks able to complete 80% of their freaking passes because it was so easy to dominate that defense. And then, as you continue, the aging defense is still there. You bring in Mel Tucker, who has his own style of defense, but he adopted the 4-3 scheme, the Tampa 2 scheme, and it was the biggest joke on the face of the earth. We saw in 2014 the worst Chicago Bears defense in the history of football. That was the worst fucking defense ever.
You're talking 2 years ago, right?
Yes.
Okay.
And then in 2013, they had a chance to make the playoffs. And I swear to God, if you blame color for not making the playoffs in 2013, you're an idiot. Because
is that the year he got hurt?
No.
Is that the year he got
no,
hurt
they
McCown came in?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. No, no, no. That was 2014. Okay. I'm saying in 2013, they played the Green Bay Packers in the NFC Championship game. Now, if you're
telling
me...
Where he got hurt in the NFC Championship game.
No, that was in 2010.
Okay.
That was when people...
You could tell I'm a Vikings fan.
That's when people
all these
were
years
saying,
for Cutler run together.
That's when people were saying that Cutler was a quitter and all this other crap. Like Maurice Jones-Drew saying, oh, he quit on the team.
Here's my thing. And I feel like...
I'm sorry, Ricky. It takes a full
what you
team
have,
to win, and they didn't have it with Cutler yet.
What,
now I'm looking at it, and
okay,
he's going
okay.
to be good.
I'm going to pull Brandon here. I gave you your time to talk.
Go ahead, Ricky. I just wanted to get that in there.
I mean, I am the guest, so I feel like I should
that card.
But here's how I see it. Is Ryan Pace putting together something good in Chicago?
Absolutely.
Yes. Is John Fox a competent head coach to run this team, especially that defense?
Yes.
Yes. However, the way I see it, this year is the year where it's like, you know what? We're just revving up for next year because next year's the Super Bowl run. This is the one to see. This is like last year's Cubs season.
That's what I was about to bring up. Let's wait
next
and see.
Year,
right.
Next year will be this year's Cubs season. However, to me, the big difference between baseball and football, you say it's a team, it needs a team
yes,
to
it
win
does.
It all. However, look back at most of the last Super Bowl champions.
Defensive
name
teams?
The quarterbacks.
Yeah.
The quarterbacks.
Well, obviously.
Trent Dilfer was the last one that fucking was a whack off.
I'm just saying, man, Cutler's among them that could win a Super Bowl.
No,
yes.
Cutler is not among the Bradys, the Mannings, the
I'm not
Wilsons,
saying he's on that same level. I'm saying, well, Joe Flacco. You think Joe Flacco's better than Jay Cutler? He could
be.
No, I think he is.
Yes.
I think he is.
I think
but he's
he
not
is.
That far off in talent.
I just
he
don't,
has a different skill set, but I'm just saying Cutler's still on that level.
I just don't think Jay's the guy. And I mean,
that's fine.
Am
you,
I saying
that's
that,
fine.
Am I saying that Jay Cutler is garbage? No, because
he's not.
He's better than Blake Bortles. There's that for you.
He's top 12.
He's better than, I don't know, Tavares Jackson, so you got that going for you.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm naming really like low-level quarterbacks to get you kind of riled up. I just think that the Bears are going to be kind of just right, like, they're kind of going to be like the St. Louis Blues in hockey, as long as they have Cutler. They just can't get over the hump.
Well,
can't get over the hump.
Final thoughts before we end the show. Jay Cutler has signed a contract, a 7-year deal, and three years were guaranteed money. And going into this season, this is the last year where he gets his guaranteed money. So after that, they have the option to cut him or move him, and they're not responsible for that salary. So it's going to be interesting to see what they do because the next 4 years is just a toss-up, and we're going to have to go year by year. But what I would say is that Cutler has a guaranteed 2 more seasons with the Chicago Bears. And we'll see after in the next 2 seasons because I'm telling you, quarterbacks, he's 32 years old. Quarterbacks can still play in this league at the age of 40, and guys can still perform at an MVP type. And I'm not saying Cutler's going to be an MVP. But I'm saying you can have career years.
Don't be throwing
at this
out
age.
MVPs.
I'm not
with
saying
Jay Cutler.
That. Well, Brandon Marshall did. And he's he's an idiot. But like I was saying, Jay Cutler is talented enough to take this team to a Super Bowl. It just takes a full effort. You have to have a complete group. You can rely on your defense all you want, like the Broncos did with Peyton Manning, who had a noodle arm.
It's like I said. What was it?
But,
the last time I was on the show.
Go ahead.
What did I say about the Bears? This defense will carry you this year. Except Jay Cutler is kind of an upgrade from Rex Grossman.
I'm telling you, Ricky, and
the offense is going to be better than it was that
year. It's
going to
be great.
But the defense is still going to carry you this year.
Defense might be middle of the pack. Offense might be top 15, top 12.
See, I say flip it. Offense may be the one that's worse out of the two.
And well, we'll see, because I really think that Cutler has the weapons and the necessary...
Leonard Floyd may possibly be the next Von Miller.
Philosophy. He could be. Very well could be, but I think Cutler's in a system now where he thrives, and I think we're going to see his best years ahead. And you know what? He had 30 touchdowns in that awful Trestman run in 2014. He's thrown over 3,000 yards in almost every single season. So, you guys have gotten a feel of how I feel about Cutler.
And I think you brought up the best analogy with Tony Romo. Is Tony Romo a bad quarterback? No. But will Tony Romo never win a Super Bowl? For Tony Romo,
I think Tony Romo's a shot. I think Tony Romo's a top 10 quarterback.
He's got this year because he's got Dez and Zeke.
All right.
Cutler does not have Dez
all
and
right,
Zeke.
All right. Enough already. All right. We've been going on longer than expected. I'm sorry I kept you here longer than we had to, but we got into this Cutler conversation. We had to talk about it.
You know what? I can't stand Cutler. I don't think he's going to win a Super Bowl in Chicago. That's it.
Okay. Well, I disagree wholeheartedly.
You better find your answer sooner rather than later, Chicago.
You'll see it. These next couple years is going to be fun on the offensive side. But anyway, all right, I want to thank you all for listening to Behind the Pen. It's been a lot of fun talking sports with you guys again this week. Remember, follow us on Twitter, at Most Valuable Pod. Same with Snapchat, same name. Also, subscribe to us on YouTube at Most Valuable Podcast. And most importantly, if you really appreciate what we just provided and you want to hear more exclusively for you, go to Patreon.com/Most Valuable Podcast and become a Patreon. You know, donate $1, $2 a month. That's all you need to do.
All you got to do is donate $1 and you get a free monthly, you get a exclusive podcast.
It's not free if you donate money.
For patrons.
But you know what we mean.
And it's only $1.
So, you know what? If you really like us, which we love you guys, you know what I mean? So,
dude, you know we love you.
So, you know, keep joining on this freight train that won't stop moving. But anyway,
don't stop till you get enough.
For Ricky Widmer, I'm Mike Rankin. Thank you for listening to Behind the Pen, and we will see you all next time.
Thank you for listening to this MVP podcast. Follow us on Twitter at Most Valuable Pod for more great podcasts.